Well, the title of my message today is called Catching the Wave. And I thought of a couple of things that might help us think about this. And one of them was, does anybody know how to do the wave? Anybody? Yeah? You ever done it? I was wondering if we could do that here this morning just to kind of loosen us up a little bit. What do you think? Think we could? Can we handle that? Yeah? Let's see. Should we just do it front to back? Or we could go down this side, maybe come up that side, get complicated. Let's try it front to back first, okay? Now, ready, set. We'll start with the front rows, and then we'll move, go on back. Now, if you're not, you don't have to stand up, Dorothy. So, but if you want to, you're welcome to. Yeah, you stand up and put your hands up in the air like that. Okay, ready, set, go. All right, need a little more volume next time. All right, let's try it again. Okay, put some volume to it this time. Go ahead. One, two, three, go. Ooh, all right. Hey, that was awesome. All right, let's get more complicated. Let's try it down this way, and then it'll come up this way, right? Ready? One, two, three, go. All right. Woo! Good job. It ties in a little bit, so at least it'll help you remember this sermon a few months from now. Well, the second kind of wave I thought of was the kind of wave that you ride. And I don't know if you've seen this video, but Vicki, you want to go ahead and start that video? I don't know where he went. Has anybody ever done surfing before? Anybody? How about like a boogie boarding? Done that? Yeah. I've done that a few times, and it takes a little catching on to, I found, to find the right spot to get on that wave just right. But if you hit it right, you can ride that thing all the way into shore. It's so much fun. Although a few times I hit it wrong, and I kind of got face planted in the bottom. That didn't feel too good. And other times, it just passed by. I'm like, where did the wave go? I was just getting ready to go, and it just, there it goes. So it takes some skill to figure that out. I've never tried actually surfing, but it looks like something that I would like to try sometime. Well, this idea of catching the wave came to mind when I was thinking of the move of God's Spirit across our community, across our country, and across our world. I really appreciated Abraham's message a few weeks ago, and he was drawing our minds to the work of the Holy Spirit and how it is the Holy Spirit who is at work in our lives and people around us. The Holy Spirit is doing the work, is changing people, transforming lives, and it's really not us. It's that work of God in us and around us. And so I really appreciated that focus that he brought us to that Sunday. God is doing a great work all around us. And today I want to look in particular at how he draws people to himself. Most of you know that Jesus left us with the task to go into the world and to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to evangelize people. This is one of our primary goals, our mission, our vision. And if you're like me, you've often been intimidated by that responsibility, just thinking about. And sometimes even the word evangelism conjures up a variety of emotions and feelings in people's minds, just with the experience that they've had in evangelism, or maybe messages that they've heard about it. Maybe you've had some bad experiences in reaching out. I think that's pretty normal. So if you've had those, I've had those as well. So we get intimidated. Maybe you've gotten discouraged and really, to some extent, have just kind of given up on the idea. Like, you know what? I've tried that, and I've tried it more than once, and it just doesn't work for me. So, you know, it's just, that must be something for somebody else. I've gotten awfully discouraged at times in my attempts at evangelism. I think back on some of my feeble attempts early on to reach out. I remember, does anybody remember Bill Fay? Oh, a few of you. I'm showing my age here a little bit. But Bill Fay, he had this method for reaching out to people. He used to have this little snippet on the radio I'd listen to. And he had this kind of 1-2-3 method of how you reach out to someone. And I remember taking one of my coworkers out to lunch. And I had this thing down to a science. I sat down with him. We hadn't really talked about spiritual things at all up to that point. We sat down and I showed him some Bible verses. And I said, read this. And what do you think about that? Read this verse. What do you think about that? We went through all that. We got done. And so I'm like, what do you think? He's like, I don't know. And it was just like, it felt like a total failure to me. And it really, in some senses, was, because I really hadn't found kind of the way God had crafted me to reach out to people. I was trying to use somebody else's method for doing that instead of using what God had given me. So that's just one example. When I think of evangelism, I think of some of those times where I've tried and it just flat out didn't seem to work. But today I want you to come away with some optimism and a positive outlook on evangelism. Maybe you have that already, but if you don't, I hope you can come away with a positive outlook on reaching out to people. My hope is that by the time this message is over, that you will be excited about catching the wave of God's Spirit at work in someone's life. I believe there are few greater thrills, even something like this, few greater thrills than actually being there and watching God work in a person's life, especially at that point where He is drawing them to a point of commitment to Himself. It's an exciting time. It's a thrilling time to be there. And so I hope you come away from the message with that kind of feeling. Like I said earlier, the person that I want to focus on today for our study is Cornelius. And you'll find his story in Acts chapter 10. Now, I'm not going to be able to read the story this morning. It's fairly lengthy. And so I'd like you to make a note to read through that this week. Acts chapter 10. Take some time and read through this story, just kind of as a follow-up to this message, because we're not going to read the scriptures this morning. I'm just going to summarize the story. Cornelius, if you're not familiar with him, he was a Roman centurion whom God was really working on. A Roman centurion means he was a professional in the Roman army. He commanded, it's estimated that centurions commanded anywhere from 60 to 100 men that they were in charge of, a regiment that they were in charge of in the army. And these men were chosen based on some of their bravery in war, some of their battle, their valor exhibited in battle. And depending on the sources you read, some of them say that they were even on the front lines. When they led their men into battle, it wasn't like they were back kind of orchestrating things. They were leading them into battle. They were kind of the inspiration for their troops in going into battle. And so this is the kind of person that we see in Cornelius, and you might say that this was kind of the epitome of manhood in some ways. You think of who a man is, you think of a guy who's a great leader and somebody who's very courageous. This is kind of how I look at Cornelius. But you know, the Bible doesn't really focus on those qualities. It just kind of mentions what his position is. It doesn't really focus on that. Take a look at what it focuses on. If you look in Acts chapter 10, verse 2, how he's described. It says, "He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly." And of course, this ties in a little bit with what I talked about the other week about prayer. This idea of how important prayer is. And here it is brought up as part of what is described, a person who is devout. This idea of being a regular person of prayer is used to describe a person who's devout, devoted to God. So God got a hold of Cornelius, and Cornelius proved to be fertile ground. He responded to God. God was at work in his life, and Cornelius responded with devotion and obedience. However, Cornelius' understanding of God was incomplete. He had a part of the picture of who God was, but he didn't have the complete picture of God's plan. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know what Jesus' role was. So he couldn't believe in Jesus for salvation. And so he hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. He had an incomplete understanding of God's plan. But it's very interesting in this story. We see God is very active in moving Cornelius along in his relationship. God is the one who provides a way for Cornelius to know who Jesus is. Very active in Cornelius discovering the truth. And what does he do? You notice in several verses down that he sends an angel to speak to Cornelius in a vision. And he gave him explicit instructions on how to locate this man called Simon Peter, who is 30 miles away, a different town, in Joppa, 30 miles away. And so he gives explicit instructions through this angel about how to find this man, Peter, so that Peter could teach him the truth. And so the first point that I want to make this morning, when we think about what God is doing in the lives of people, is that God draws people to himself. He is the one that is drawing people to himself. And I think often we get confused on this, and that's maybe sometimes why it feels weighty to us when we think of evangelism and thinking, you know what? I got to have this thing figured out in order to attract people to the gospel, to attract people to God. And it's really not that way. God is already doing that. He's already at work in people's lives all around you in a lot of ways that we don't even know and understand. We can't even see what he's doing often. But he is actively at work. And so God is drawing people to himself. He's orchestrating things. We see him orchestrating things here in the life of Cornelius. He's moving in people's hearts. He's motivating them. He's convicting them. He's helping them to grow. All around us, God is working in the hearts of people. And that makes me excited when I think of that. When I think of the people that I live by and think, you know what? God is working among these people. And it really doesn't have anything to do with me in some ways. I don't even know what he's doing in a lot of cases. But he is actively working in their lives. Very exciting thing for me. Now, God doesn't always speak to people in such visibly miraculous ways as he spoke to Cornelius in this time. Not everybody has an angel come and speak to them and tell them exactly what to do. But that was the case here with Cornelius. But I think it's a great example for us to understand that God is doing that all the time. Maybe not through an angel, but he is speaking all the time to people and drawing them to himself. I think this understanding is crucial when we think of evangelism. And in a moment, we're going to talk about what our part is in this process. But first, we must realize that God is the one who is working in people's hearts. Yes, we can definitely influence people, and we do. We have a tremendous amount of influence on people, especially those who are close to us and that trust us in what we say. But in the end, it is God. God is the one who is working in their heart, convicting them and drawing them to himself. It's a God thing. I think I shared before about a neighbor of mine last year who, it seemed like out of the blue, just was asking me about spiritual things. I was in the backyard looking for my cat, and I saw him out there, and I went over to talk with him. And he just, immediately he plunged into a spiritual conversation. I didn't do anything. And it was just interesting for me to listen to him and hear kind of the desire in his heart. And I could just see, it's just kind of like you could see the hand of God working on this man's heart. And I'm like, wow. And I get to be a part of this. And I just happened to be at the right place at the right time when God was working on this guy. And it was just exciting to see. Now, since then, it seems like the interest has kind of tailed off a little bit. But that's been my experience with people. It's a process. God works, they listen, they respond for a period of time, then maybe don't listen for a while, or the interest is just not there for a while. And so those are the things that we see in God working in someone's life. And God is doing that same thing in people all around you, your neighbors, your coworkers. I remember when we started our neighborhood Bible study, Doris and I kind of had in our heads of the people that we figured would be a part of this. Like, okay, well, here's some people that we know that would likely be interested in a Bible study, and so we'll ask them because they're the most likely. And what ended up happening is we had a completely different group than what we had envisioned. Some of the ones that we thought were interested would be interested didn't seem to be. And others that we hadn't really even thought of inviting, it was just kind of a spur-of-the-moment invitation. Some neighbors that moved in just that week that were like, I just happened to walk by and they were out and we invited them and they came. And they were some of the ones that responded most directly to the message of the gospel. We can't predict what God is doing in people's lives and how he's working. But we get a chance to be a part of that. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here next. He continually surprises me with what he's doing. So how do we respond to this truth that God is drawing people to himself? And the first thing I would say is that we need to relax a bit. We need to relax. This isn't all dependent on you getting it right. And I'm talking to myself here too, because I've had a hard time with this relaxing, with reaching out. I had a desire to do it, but sometimes in the middle of it, I get really stressed out about it. We need to relax. God is doing the primary work. We don't have to have it all together. Should we always be as ready as possible? Well, yes, of course we should. And the Bible says that. That we should be ready to share the hope that we have in Christ. But I believe a brand new believer can lead somebody else to the Lord. It happens. They do it. God uses you right where you're at. You don't have to have everything together. You just look at the woman at the well that Jesus talked to. And what did she do? She went out and got all her friends right away and brought them back to listen to Jesus. It wasn't that hard to do. So we need to relax a little bit about this evangelism thing. It's not all about us and how good we can witness. It's about the power of God and His Holy Spirit working in a person's life. We're just looking for an opportunity to catch that wave, to catch that wave of God's Spirit moving through someone's life. And to ride that wave is so much fun, to be involved in that. The second thing I would say in responding to this idea that God is the one that's drawing people to himself is that we need to pray. We need to pray that God will open their hearts. Pray that people would respond to God as Cornelius did. And I know that God lays on our hearts specific people that we pray for, whether they're family members, whether they're neighbors. He lays on our heart those people that he wants us to pray, that they would respond, be responsive. When we pray for them, they are going to have opportunities to respond. I believe that. They are going to have an opportunity. It's still going to be up to them what they do with that. But when we pray, it softens their heart to the gospel. So prayer is crucial in this process. Pray that people receive the message with gladness, whether it's through you or through someone else. And God will lay those people on your heart to pray for. The second point I want to make in this story is that God directs our path in outreach. He directs our path. If we're listening to him looking, he's the one who's going to show us what to do. And we see this in the next part of the story about Cornelius. And that is through Simon Peter. And so you see in the next section here in verses 9 through 23, God gives Peter a vision. Now, we could talk a lot about that vision and have a whole sermon about that vision in particular, because it's a very important vision. But I want to primarily focus on the idea that God revealed to Peter very clearly that he was to share the gospel with this man, Cornelius. He very clearly revealed this to Peter. And as I mentioned earlier, God surprises us with the people that he wants us to reach out to. We don't always know who they are. And I have to think that Peter was really surprised with this one. He was a Jew, and Jews did not associate by their own law. They did not associate with Gentiles. Gentiles were considered to be unclean, and just by being with them, especially going into their home, was unheard of for a devout Jew. And so here is God going through this process of preparing Peter's heart to be willing to reach out to someone that he really had some questions about doing. And we don't see the whole struggle that Peter goes through in this, but there had to be, we see some of it. There had to be a significant struggle here for Peter to be going against some of the things that he had known in the Jewish law, to associate with these Gentiles, which Gentiles refers to people who are not Jews. But God surprises us. And he surprised Peter by calling him very clearly to go with these men that Cornelius sent and to go speak to Cornelius and his household. God made it very clear to Peter that the good news about Jesus was for all people. And that message should be really clear to us as well. Sometimes we have kind of favorites of who we think would be maybe the easiest to share God's message with, the truth. And often God has other people in mind for us to share with. I think of a few challenges in my own life of people that God asked me to share with. And it was very difficult, some of those people, in sharing with them. They were very antagonistic at times to the gospel, but also very receptive at times. So we never know who he's asking us to reach out to, but we know that the gospel is for all people. Now, we may not see visions every day, but we can be very confident that God is directing us to people as well, even today, people that he wants us to share the gospel with. Remember, he's at work all around us. He's preparing people's hearts, and we are simply looking for a way to be involved in that process. If you are open, God will reveal it to you. If you're looking, you'll see opportunities, specific people or groups of people he wants you to share the good news with. I mentioned that God surprised Doris and I with a different group of people in our neighborhood Bible study. And that continues to happen with the people that he asked me to reach out to. He surprises me often. Just this year in our Bible discussion group in our neighborhood, we asked one of the neighbor couples, and I'd have to say I wasn't expecting that they would be interested, but they were very interested. Made me wonder why I hadn't asked them before. But I don't know. I felt like it was God's timing for them. And it's been very exciting once again to see him working in their hearts and to be able to be a part of that. So when we think of this idea of God directing our path, I have two suggestions for you, practical suggestions. One is to simply open your eyes. We need to open our eyes to what God is doing and where that wave is and be ready to catch that wave when it comes by. Because they're coming by, and often we miss them. And we need to be ready for that. Open our eyes. And secondly, once again, I would call us to prayer, to ask God to open our eyes to those people, that we would see them instead of passing by. If you're serious about wanting to get to be involved, I know that God will give you the opportunity. He will answer this prayer if you pray it. He will answer it for you and give you an opportunity to share in someone's life. The last point I want to make is that we respond in obedience. We respond in obedience. God has given us everything we need. He is preparing people's hearts. He will direct us to specific people or groups of people. And we are called simply to step out in faith, believing that he is doing those things. And this is what Peter did. Once again, I think this was a huge step for him to reach out to Gentiles, but he did. He knew he'd be criticized probably by the other Jewish believers, and we see later on that they do give him a hard time about it. But God told him very clearly, don't hesitate to go with them. And I think that's a call for us too. When he calls us to to be involved in somebody's life, like he's calling us to say, you know what, don't hesitate. Take that step. We talked about the step of faith, jumping off the cliff. Sometimes it feels that way in these situations. But take that step and believe that God is at work and that he will give you everything that you need in order to share with that individual or even that group. Peter responded in obedience. He obeyed. He walked the 30 miles to Caesarea. Looks like it took him about a day and a half to get there. But he walked the 30 miles and he went into Cornelius' house. Cornelius was there waiting with all of his family, his servants, and probably his friends and neighbors. It says that there was a large crowd gathered at his house. He was ready. He was ready to receive this message. And so Peter arrives and gives witness to the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. And there's a huge response to what Peter says. If you think about it, Peter really didn't, it doesn't look like he really did a whole lot, does it? He heard the voice, he responded, and he went in obedience, and he gave witness to what he had seen and what he knew. And people responded. And that's because God was at work in them already before Peter even arrived there. He was at work in their hearts. They were ready. They were fertile soil. The Holy Spirit moves with great power among them. And even the Jewish believers that came with Peter, they're amazed at what God is doing in these people's lives. And we get that opportunity as well when we see that happen. We're amazed at what God can do to transform a person's life, to transform our own lives. Now we know that we don't always see these kinds of results when we witness. And neither did the apostles. Not everyone is favorable to the message. They weren't back then. They aren't today. Not everybody responds that way. But I think this gives us a beautiful picture about how God works in the hearts of people. He is doing a great work, and he wants us intimately involved in the process. And personally, I feel overwhelmed often by what he is doing. In fact, I told Doris yesterday, I said, you know what, I feel like I just can't keep up with God. He's just going too fast for me. All the opportunities that I see. And it's a good place to be, but it can be overwhelming when you see God working in those ways. And sometimes I feel like I'm on that wave, and yeah, I get kind of smashed down because I just kind of overwhelmed with what he's doing. But we are God's hands and feet. We are the ambassadors of Christ, and so we need to proclaim the message. Paul says in Romans 10, he says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. God is sending you to someone. So I would encourage you not to give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep trying. Pray until you see clearly who God is calling you to. Continue to pray. And be committed for the long haul. It's not just a quick thing that happens when people come to the Lord. It's a process in their lives, just like it's been for you. So be patient with that process. They won't all be like Cornelius. There will be some like that, yeah, that will blow you away. But they won't all be like Cornelius. Some will be rocky soil, some will be thorny soil, and some will even be that hard path. We are called to all kinds of people, and God gives everyone an opportunity to respond to his truth. Every attempt to share is a success, I think, because you've been faithful to what God has called you to do. It's a success, no matter what the results look like. If you attempt to share for Christ, to share the good news, that is a success in itself. God can handle the rest of that. So let's encourage each other. Many of you are faithfully working with people right now who God has laid on your heart. You're praying for people. You're working with them. And I must say, you have beautiful feet. Seems like kind of a weird thing to say, but that's what Paul says. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. So I don't know, if you look at your feet tonight when you take your shoes off, just think, those are beautiful feet. But I want to encourage you however I can. I feel a great need from you as well to be encouraged in what God has called me to do. It can be discouraging sometimes. And I know, and I'm sure for you, that sometimes it feels lonely, like you wonder if it's doing any good. You know, you wonder if you're being effective, if you're in the place that God has called you. So we need to encourage each other in this. And so even for our sharing time that we're moving into here, maybe if you have a specific need for prayer in this area, let us support you in that. And I know for myself that I would covet your prayers in the things that God has called Doris and I to do. Paul also asked for prayer often, and I'd like to close with this one of those pleas as we move into prayer and sharing. In Ephesians 6, he says, "Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should."